This is Beyond the Showroom, where you'll learn tips and techniques on the car buying process, how to get the best deal, what scams to watch out for, and much more. Here's your host and one of the foremost automotive business experts in the country, the Chevy Dude, Mike Davenport.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Beyond the Showroom podcast. I am Mike Davenport, and I am joined by my lovely wife, who is still not killing me, which is good since we are on day 7 of quarantine and having to live here.
I think last Tuesday was the first day we were home.
Yep.
Taking a lot for me to get used to.
It is. Because I'm never home, right?
Nobody's ever home. I have our youngest is sleeping during the day and in school normally. And then you and our son are gone to work and I get the whole house to myself.
Lucky you, right?
Not right now.
No, not right now, but beforehand. So we are really excited for tonight's episode. We're going to talk about the current COVID-19 coronavirus incentives, rates, scams that are out there. Is it really a good time or a bad time to buy a car? And if you just, you know, want to stay at home or want to go in, how the dealerships are protecting, at least how my dealership is protecting me. And again, as I always say, I don't do these podcasts to sell cars. I don't want people calling me and saying, hey, Mike, I really like your podcast. I want to buy a Chevy Malibu and I live in California, right? Let's just face it. To ship a Chevy Malibu to California is not going to be cost effective. I'm doing this podcast. We're doing this podcast so that way you can use these tips and tricks to go out to your dealership of choice in the convenience of your own neighborhood and buy local. That's the whole thing about this. So before we get into this, we have a awesome sponsor that's here weekly on the Beyond the Showroom podcast, and that is Surfshark VPN. So Surfshark VPN is a huge sponsor. I use them to go through this podcast and through my live streams, and you really need this to access and secure your digital life. So did you know that your hotels, airlines, and more have different prices based off of where you're connected from on the internet? Did you know that someone in Canada may not get the same programming on Netflix as we do here in the USA and vice versa, or in the UK or wherever the case may be? So I want to introduce you to Surfshark VPN. And when you're using public Wi-Fi, hotel Wi-Fi, airport, or on your mobile device, I always use a VPN to secure that, encrypt that data I'm sending. So a new feature that Surfshark VPN is using is called HackLife. That's H-A-C-K, Life. It provides an extra layer of security. HackLife scans databases for possible email and password leaks, also providing you, the user, real-time alerts with any personal information that was leaked and found available on the internet, including the dark web. So here's the best VPN deal for my viewers. You get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/ChevyDude. By entering promo code ChevyDude, you'll get 83% off and one extra month of free subscription. The minimal cost you spend with Surfshark will outweigh the benefits and peace of mind with you and your personal and private information. Use the link in the description with code ChevyDude for these amazing savings. And thank you, Surfshark, for sponsoring this video. So again, you can always text in your responses or your questions to the number on your screen for the viewers that are watching the live stream, the 502-909-5192. This phone is literally only on during the live stream. It's not on anywhere else. This is not a phone number to communicate with me. I don't even look at the phone. It's all Mrs. Chevy Dude is the one who looks at the phone. So this is to tune it in. If you want to guarantee your question getting answered, regardless if it's on topic or off topic, you can use the super chat feature and we will do that. So join us every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the Chevy Dude YouTube channel for our live broadcast. And then every Wednesday morning, we do the podcast portion on your favorite podcasting software. And that comes live at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So a couple of the topics we're going to talk about in this episode is the big topic is 0% really that great of a deal. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to show you a real world scenario of the difference between zero and traditional financing. I recorded this earlier today and I'm going to show you the video of it. So I wanted to get into really, really good detail of this. Why dealers may sway you away from 0%. This is a big one. This is a big one. So you got to be careful on this. What vehicles these deals are on and how to safely buy a car during this crisis. So I know you don't buy cars.
No.
But I mean, would you be scared to go out and buy something to this day and age right now, the way it is, buy a car, if you knew that the company was taking safeguards to protect you?
How is the company taking safeguards to protect me?
Like just doing extra sanitation, or they've stepped up their game, you know, stuff like that.
In that respect, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, spending the money, et cetera, you know, cause all I think about is what money gets spent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And lack of money coming in for a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
So.
So, and really, you know, I've talked about this the last couple of days is, you know, I went through the, in the car business, I went through the 2008, 2009 crisis with the financial stuff that just put us into, you know, what's that called? It's not a depression.
Recession.
There we go. And it was pretty bad. And I learned a lot from that because that was the first one that I had ever went through as an adult. And we just went through this and tried to make sure that, you know, we put different avenues. I love selling cars, right? So I wanted to make sure that I was protecting ourselves and our family you know, with our income. So that's why I started doing YouTube and started doing this. And this is a full business for us and whatnot. So that's what I'm doing right now. So it's a good time to do it, but, you know, got to protect ourselves as well. So, you know, I wanted to talk about, is 0% really a good deal? And it can be a good deal under the right circumstances. And if you, you know, if you give up a little rebate, like a $2,000, $3,000 rebate, it may not be that big of a deal. If you're on a really inexpensive car, like a Chevy Spark or a Chevy Malibu, 0% may not be your friend. All right. You know what? I said that backwards. I apologize on that. I said that completely dyslexic there. If you're giving up a little rebate, it may be a good deal for you. If you're only giving up like $1,000 and to get 0%, yeah, give up that $1,000 and take that 0%, pay the less payment, but it's not necessarily you need to go 84 months. So that's the, you know, that could be a big issue too of doing that. So I wanted to get into this right away, of this real world scenario.
All right, so we're going to hop over to the whiteboard real quick for the people who are on the live stream and watching the replay. I'm going to use the whiteboard here to kind of explain some of the characteristics behind going with 0% financing. For the people on the podcast, I'm going to do this so that way you can hear it and you can know it. But on the screen here for the people watching, I have a 2020 Silverado with an MSRP of $52,335. Now, this is a very common Silverado. This is a crew cab four-wheel drive in the LT trim. This vehicle is being sold by Bachmann Chevrolet in Louisville, Kentucky for $41,890. Yes, $10,445 off MSRP. Now, we're not going to include any types of sales taxes. We're not going to include any types of dealer fees or anything. We're strictly going to work off the sales price of $41,890. Now, if you decide that you want to finance $41,890, traditionally, because this is, you do not get 0% with this number. We're going to explain that here in a second. On 72 months at a 5% interest rate, you're going to have a 675 payment. Now, I'm one, when I'm looking at interest rates, when I'm configuring payments at home, I like to figure high, because that way when I get all said and done, if I miscalculated a tax somewhere or if I've done something goofy with my own at-home math, then we don't have to have many surprises on it. I just bought a $100,000 plus car. I figured 6% interest rate when I did everything. My payment is much cheaper, which is good, but I was budgeting for the higher payment just in case. And plus, it allows me to budget for that higher payment because I'll just pay that higher payment and I can pay it off earlier as well. So if we do that same $41,890 at a 4% rate, you can see that that payment is gonna be $655. So there's not a huge difference. It's what, $30 difference? Not a huge difference between a 5% and a 4% rate. Now, I'm not saying that this is the rate you're going to get and just deal with it. I'm just saying at home figuring this type of rate, you should not be somewhere and be like, okay, well, I can do it at 675. or I can do it at 655, but I can't do it at 675. You probably don't need to buy a vehicle if you're $30 swinging your payment in your budget to do it. So I'm just kind of, that's why I'm showing you the difference there. So let's say you walk into the dealership and you're like, hey, I want that 0% for 84 months. And I want that truck right there. Well, they're gonna tell you that, hey, great news, that truck's available, but that truck price now is $47,890. Yes, you lose $6,000 in rebates if you do the 0%. Now, one thing that I wanna show you is if you do 84 months at 0% interest rate, your payment is gonna be $570. That's where you're gonna be at on an 84-month 0% interest rate. Now, I don't recommend 84 months. And if you do decide you wanna do 84 months, you gotta realize that you need to keep this truck for a long, long time, or this vehicle. This is not something that you want to trade out of in a short period of time. So, again, this is a $47,890 vehicle at 84 months is a 570 payment. If you do 72 months at 0%, you're going to have a 665 payment. So what is 0% actually costing you? 0% is costing you $6,000 to do. So there's no such thing as free money. In order to get 0%, you have to give up $6,000 in rebates on a Silverado in order for this to work. Now, if you're looking at a Corvette, there's not much to give up on a Corvette, all right? So maybe that 0% is gonna work out on a Corvette. So you have to look at this stuff and know. So let's go into this payment up here, the payment without the 0%, you're taking an interest rate. At that 5% interest rate that I used earlier, if you pay every single payment, 72 payments at a 5% interest rate, 675, at the end of the day, your interest that you pay back is $6,684. That's what it's gonna cost you to borrow $41,890 over 72 months at a 5% interest rate. If you do that at a 4% interest rate and you do the same thing, that interest charge is gonna be $5,297. Again, you're paying that off in 72 months. Let's say you are the average person that wants to trade their car every 39 months. So if you have your interest that you pay and you pay 100% of the car off, $41,890 over 39 months, the max you're gonna pay in interest is $3,500. You're actually gonna pay $3,583 is what you're going to pay. So that's really important to know on these numbers and where to go.
So with that being said, you know, when you look at you and I said 30,000, I meant $3,500, $3,583. If that means that if you're going out there and you're paying off your car quick, or you're selling it, or whatever it may be, you know, if you trade it, sell it, if you have a total loss, the average consumer trades their car every 39 months. So with that being said, you're giving up $6,000 and you're only going to pay $3,500 in interest. So right there, just rounded math, that's $2,500, right? Am I doing that man math correct, Andy?
Maybe.
So
your man math, even on the video, was wrong.
$1,500. So, but that's where you're. Hey, I'm going to do 0%, and it's not going to be really, really good. And somebody had made a comment on here too to make sure you get gap coverage, and absolutely correct. Even though you're paying 0%, gap coverage is going to be a really good thing to have, because you're not going to pay down the principal balance fast enough to outweigh the depreciation of your car. I'm just going to turn it way up. So if ever, I'm just going to turn it all the way up. The mic, people are saying the microphones are way off again. So I'm just sending it all the way up. I can't go any further. So with that being said,
yes, the volume is going to be half of what the video was, because it was a video.
Right. So, but yeah, so you want to make sure you do get gap coverage of that. And the big thing too is it's amazing that I see comments. I see these comments all the time on my videos and stuff like that. And you guys know that I read every single comment. I look at, I'm so involved in this channel because I love being involved on this. But I always see these hard ass comments that people make. If the dealer's not willing to take my cash from my credit union, or this is the pay, this is what I'm going to pay, I'm walking. I sell a lot of cars per month. My dealership sells a lot of cars per month. We do not see that at our dealership. Maybe at other dealerships, but people are like, hey, you're going to take it or leave it type deal. It's what I read, how I read these comments. I don't see that at my dealership. And maybe I'm lucky. What do you think?
I mean, if you're going to act like that, you're going to have a hard time finding any place to be buying from, because pretty much you're going in there being rude right off the bat to some salesperson or managers or whatever. And then that makes them not want to work for you at all.
Right.
And, you know, that turns around and says, yeah, well, I don't need your business.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, as much as the salespeople, and somebody else said it, I feel bad for these salespeople that are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, and they're pretty much unemployed right now. I'm telling you, the Bachmans are amazing people. None of the sales guys are laid off. You know, we're all 100% commissioned salespeople, and they're taking care of us. That's all I'm going to say about it, but they're taking care of us. And I'm glad I work for a dealership that we work for, because there's other dealerships here in Louisville, Kentucky, that they basically said, see you later. Good luck. We'll call you when we want you to back. And,
you know, but not just dealerships. It is retail stores. It's a lot of things. So a lot of companies sit there and have said, hey, we will pay you. But now that the closures are going beyond 2 weeks, they're like, no, I'm sorry. You're essentially laid off for right now. You need to file for unemployment if you want any money. And, you know, it's just the unforeseen. We don't know how long we're going to be sitting around on our butts doing nothing. So, you know, companies have a hard time trying to prepare for that and trying to be good to their employees and everything else. I mean, this is trying times.
Yeah, it is. And that's why we're talking about this, because people are still buying cars. And as much as it seems like the world is shut down, there's still people out there who have done the right financial decisions and gone out. So, you know, you got to look at it. Is this really worth 0%? And that's the type of things that you need to look at, and look at an amortization chart, and look at stuff like that to say, okay, how often do I trade? Is this worth 0%? So again, if you trade a lot, you don't want to go over 72 months. You just don't. It's gonna bite you in the butt. And another thing with this is I'm not a big fan of is that they're saying, hey, listen, which is good. I get it. This is good. That basically, if you finance through Chevrolet, GM Financial, that they will delay your payments for 4 months, I think it is, 120 days. So that's kind of cool. But at the same time, your car's depreciating those 4 months, and your principal balance is not doing anything different. And if you have an interest rate on your car loan, now you're incurring interest on those 4 months. You know, car loans, when there's an interest rate involved, car loans are a simple interest factor loan. That means every single day your interest is factored on your daily balance. So that way, if you want to go in there and give them $50 a week or whatever divided by four your payment is, you can do that. And it's going to save you in the long run over the term of your loan. So you got to be careful with that too. Yes, that's a cool thing out there with that carrot, but the stick is that your car is going to depreciate much, much quicker. You're not going to pay it off as quick as you would if you had you're paying it right out the gate. So typically speaking, you have 45 to 30 days before you go into that first payment. So that's always key. I mean, anytime I finance something, I try to do 30 days to 45 days as well, because just depending on what day of the month I want to do it. So, you know, with the Corvette, I did 45 days because it was coming at the end of the month, and that's really when I want to do it, because that's when YouTube pays us, and I want to, you know, I'm paying that with YouTube money. So Matt's RVs, thanks, buddy. Appreciate your super chat. Always he's a huge fan of the channel. I appreciate it. I think you're up in Philly, right? Up in Jersey, something like that. So check out his channel. It's a really good channel for RVs. So, you know, that's one thing to look at too with the 0%, the delayed payments is it really worth it? And you got to, there's amortization charts all over the place. When I was looking at that, 39 months, you know, by no means am I a math wizard or a financial advisor, but you know, I think that $3,500 is actually kind of high is what you'd pay over 39 months. Looking at amortization charts, I was coming in at sometimes like $3,000 or whatever, but on the Silverado, you're giving up $6,000 in order to get that 0%. And if you look at that payment was really, really close by having a 4% interest rate compared to a 0% interest rate at 84 months and 72 months. So you're obligating yourself to lower term. If over 5 years, you drive on average of, or 6 years, if you drive on average of 15,000 miles per year, over 6 years, that's, 15,000 times 6 years. My phone is not messing, it's messing up. 15,000 times 6 is 90,000. I can't do math today for some reason. So now you're over 6 years, you're putting 90,000 miles on your car. You're definitely out of warranty. Your risk is increased by something breaking down. So now that $600 car payment or whatever you have is increased, you know, month by month if something breaks down. And if you do the same thing on 84 months, now you're over 100,000 miles. Well, nowadays people are driving more. So if you drive 20,000 miles a year, that's putting 140,000 miles on your car that you're still making payments on. If you're doing more than that, you know, we drive 25 to 30 a year based off where we live and going to work. I drive at least 50 miles a day. So the so that's really, really important. And Gap Time just doing a super chat asking what credit score is needed for 0% financing. They typically don't do it on a credit score with GM Financial. You gotta have good credit, but I tell everybody 750 and above. Typically speaking, the 750 credit score is gonna qualify. But if you've got one credit card and you have a 750 credit score and you only have a $300 limit on that credit card, you're not going to come in and qualify for a $50,000 truck. It's just not going to happen. We've talked about that in the past on what to qualify for and stuff like that. And again, you know, having a 4% and 5% interest rate nowadays is normal for a car loan. Our interest rates are up. I know I see all these comments of people saying stuff like I mentioned earlier, but a 4% and 5% interest rate is very, very common. Something in the threes is tough to do. Something in the twos is even harder to do in today's world. Now, come April, you know, this is the last day of March. The banks typically will update their rates in April, come April 1st. So when tomorrow comes along, we might see rates a little bit different. But as of March, and all this stuff started happening in March, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the Feds lowered their interest rate to 0%. And so like that, well, the banks aren't going to give you 0% interest rate. They're going to make their money. And now it's the time that they can make their money. Maybe they'll lower it to 2.99, right? So they're getting 0% interest from the Feds and they're selling it back to you at 3 points above what they buy it for, which is always crazy because consumers will sit there and like, dealers are marking the rates up. Well, what do you think banks do? Banks mark the rates up too. And typically speaking, yes, you can go to your credit union, but most likely your dealership works with your credit union and they can probably save you a little bit of cash by doing that. And I always have people walk through the dealership and say, hey, I got this rate at this bank. And I go to their same bank and I get them a better rate. Or like Capital One, if you go to Capital One and do their auto navigator and you do that stuff, I can get you a lower rate through Capital One. But as soon as you do that auto navigator, they don't deviate on that at all. It's dead set. So when you go out and get your own financing, sometimes you shoot yourself in the foot. And most of the times people don't do their interest rates. They don't do their credit scores and do the underwriting process to get that stuff done too. So the next topic I wanted to get into is exactly kind of on that topic. Why dealerships are going to try to sway you away from 0%. You have any idea why, Andy?
Because they want to make money.
They want to make money, yes. So the...
Like everybody.
Yeah, so the dealerships probably only make $100 flat for selling you 0% interest rate. So that's not really good money for the financing of it. So they want to make more money. So a lot of these banks now just give you a percentage of the amount that you finance. So, you know, say you finance $50,000 and the bank gives you 1% for selling it for what buy rate is, you know, that's $500 to them. So that's a $400 loser deal on that. And that money makes up for selling new cars at a loss. You know, the average new car is sold at a 2% net profit, less than 2% net profit is what a new car department runs at. Used car departments, sometimes even worse than that. So, so it's kind of interesting. So they want to definitely try to sway you away from 0%, but you can listen to them, right? Don't just like, nope, I'm doing 0%. Listen to them, let them show you which way is the right way. You can definitely ask them, like, hey, listen, will you show me, and I recommend this highly, very, very highly, will you show me 0% financing compared to taking a traditional finance rate? Because just like in that example I showed you with the Silverado, you're giving up $6,000 in rebates. You need to know that. You need to know what you're giving up. And you can simply ask that question or have them put it in writing. And I always recommend put it in writing.
But the same being said, when looking at that particular scenario, the payment was just a tad cheaper over time with 0%, even though you were giving up the $6,000. And a lot of people are payment buyers. All they care about is how much per month, and that $10, $20, $30, whatever it is, could be beneficial to them because most likely they're already stretching their budget to buy said vehicle.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody nowadays is completely subscription-based buyers. So a lot of people will go out there and they don't care what the end cost is. They don't care what their amount of finance is. It's all about how can I fit it into my budget, right? So that's what's great about Netflix and Hulu and all these places. They're only charging you 12 or 13 or 15 bucks, right? And then if you want to go to the one with no commercials, it's only $2 more, right? And we see value in that $2. I don't have to watch commercials, right? So that's always good to go there as well. So yeah, definitely consumers are payment buyers. Majority of consumers buy on payment. And we've talked about it in the past that you don't buy on payment, you buy on price. So you just have to kind of look at that stuff and know the difference between, you know, what you're getting and what you're not. So that's why in the description of this video, there is a link that you can get all sorts of little cool things. I'll email them to you that you can click there. It's in the podcast notes and in the video notes. So you can do that and get that. You can get all that information and have a really good diagram of making sure what you ask customers. And there's also in there the 8 tips to the car buying process. Sorry. It's my ebook that I made, and it's basically 8 tips to get your best deal on a new car. And that's in there too. And I got a big shout out to Steve Robertson. Thank you so much for the 20. And he said, glad you branched out to podcasting. It's been fun. This is our 7th Beyond the Showroom podcast.
Has it been that long?
It's 7. This is number 7. Can you believe that?
No.
It's crazy. You're getting more and more comfortable on camera.
Am I?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Which is always good. So it's just branching out, right? And I'll tell people this, you know, if you're uncomfortable on camera, look at that lady right there. She's not a camera person.
Oh no. I don't like the camera.
And you're getting better. You're getting better, especially since we recorded so many vlogs this week. There were the last 7 days that I've got you on camera a little bit more and stuff like that.
The Mrs. Chevy dude ends up in the vlogs now.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know,
I said I'm going to take over the channel.
I know we already got the photo art of Mrs. Chevy dude that Lewis did in the last vlog. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. So, you know, it's really important to get all the information correctly and all the information on your car buying process to make sure that you are making a well-informed decision. And if you're someone who trades a lot, you don't want to do a long-term finance deal. You know, just like I said in the video of the truck, you know, you don't want to have a long-term finance deal and trade off. And I try to convince my customers not to do long-term finance deals. It's, you know, it's not always that good for them because I know how they're trading. And if they want to trade in 3 or 4 years, their negative equity is going to be outweighing their actual cash value of their trade. And most people don't put money down on car deals nowadays, just what it is.
Well, you'd still have those people out there like my mom, who may be watching right now, that buy their car.
Once a $300 payment.
Well, besides that, buy their car and then don't want another one for at least 10 years.
Yeah, and that part's fine, right? So if that's your typical buying process, which, you know, I've been around your family for 26 years now, almost 27. So, you know, I can kind of tell your mom's buying habits of what they are. And if she wanted to do 84 months to get a nicer car or whatever, then so be it. She's yeah. good. I know she's not going to trade anything in.
So mom, if you're listening, you know, might be the time to get that Camaro SS.
Yeah. But I mean, we both know that 84 months is not a good thing, you know, even at 0%. But the cool thing is they got up to 84 months. You can do 60, you can do 72, you can do 36, you can do 27 months. You can do any combination of months. You can do 1 month if you wanted to. So it's completely customizable to what they do. Just the standard is 60, 66, 72, 75, 84 months is pretty much standard of everything out there.
So basically, you've had times where you've had customers who have cash to pay their car or to pay for their car, but there's been like those times where you can sit there and get rebates for actually financing, but we're not seeing that right now. This is all strictly you give up everything to have that 0%. Correct.
Right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So dealers hate that too. It's called down payment assistance. Dealers hate that as well because those interest rates are usually 6% and 7%. It freaks those cash buyers out. They're like, you're kind of like you're handcuffed to GM Financial to do that. And you're 6% or 7% when you can go somewhere and get 4% or 3%. So, that's always, it's tough to do as well, because then you're like, well, I want to give up this rebate, but I don't want to give up this rebate, but I don't want to pay 7% either. And then I have to refinance. And it's just a slew of dumb things that, corporate America just doesn't see, right? Corporate America, just, not to get political here, but you know, the government's going to give like people like $1,200 checks or something like that. $1,200 check does not make up for the last 2 weeks for most Americans. $1,200. And it's not even a check. It's your money. You're just not going to get a big refund next year for 2020 taxes. They're just basically saying, hey, listen, most people get refunds because you overpay us and we give you your money back, you know, and whatnot. So it's just your money. They're just giving it to you early and it's just kind of goofy. So I kind of wanted to also, with this, all this being said, with the 0%, which is exciting. It gets people excited. It's what vehicles is it on, you know, and people automatically assume that I'm going to walk in, I see a vehicle and I get 0% on it. And it's not the case.
People want 0% on the C8s.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The C8. Oh yeah. That's definitely a routine question. Hey, can I get 0% on the C8? No, they're not desperate for selling that vehicle. They're going to give you 0% on vehicles that are aged or it is a leading vehicle that they sell. It's a vehicle that they depend on to sell a lot, say the Silverado. So when I was looking at the incentives, and to be honest with you, I was so involved with delivering C8s that were coming in and all this stuff. And, you know, and I run my business here and, you know, I've got 3 or 4 different things going on business wise that takes up a lot of my time. But, you know, I didn't even know what the 0% was on. I literally had to look it up today to do the research and to do it properly. So I had a pretty good idea what it was on because I know how GM operates, but I wasn't 100% sure. So the 0% is only on 2019 select Chevys, and the only 20 model that it's on is the Silverado. It's select Silverados. So I used the LT crew cab 4-wheel drive in that analogy there earlier that I showed all the numbers on, because that's the most common truck that Chevrolet sells. And that's the one that they bank on a lot. Anytime that Chevrolet talks to us about market share or what we're doing, it's always about the Silverado. It's always about this. It's always about that. And I think when we get the new 2021 Trailblazer, once that finally gets here, I think that's going to be a phenomenal vehicle to sell. That's going to be, I'm excited for the 2021 Trailblazer. It's a smaller SUV. It's smaller than the Equinox, smaller than the current Blazer, but bigger than the Trax, and it's much, much nicer than the Trax. Still built in Korea, but and I assume probably close to the same facility, if not the same facility as the current Trax. But you know, it's going to be a sweet vehicle, and for like less than 20 grand for everything you get on it, you get that in. So yeah, so you definitely need to ask up front or do the research on the websites for the manufacturers of what the 0% is on, because that does play a big role on the vehicle as well. And let's say you've got a vehicle that you bought 2 or 3 years ago, and you're like, hey, I can get another vehicle and get 0% and lower my interest rate. You need to look at that stuff too. That stuff may not be the right deal. And with my clients, I'll tell them, right, again, this podcast and this live stream is not for Mike Davenport to sell more cars. It's not for that in any way, shape, or form. And I really appreciate the people who call me and say, hey, I want to buy a car from you. But, you know, again, you know, if you're in Oregon State and you want to buy a Malibu, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. If you're in Florida and you want to drive up and buy a Silverado for me, sweet. I've sold Silverados, brand new Silverados, in California before, but you know, they wanted to do it and they wanted to make an adventure out of it and they drove back and stuff like that. So that's the type of things you got to look at. And we've talked about that stuff in the past, but I always kind of like to remind people that, because I do have a big following. I do have a big outreach and people who watch me. It's just amazing and I love it to death. But you just got to look at that stuff really, really closely. So is there any questions that we can go over about any of those first four subjects?
There's a lot of questions. I bet there is. But you keep talking.
Just talk.
So we had somebody text in a question about if they could get 0% with a subprime credit score.
Yeah, no, you're not going to be able to do that with subprime credit. It's going to be for the best credit out there. You know, that's everything dictates. Everything on a car deal dictates based off of your credit. Sometimes the price dictates off your credit. Sometimes the interest rate, the payment definitely does. The interest rate definitely does. But a lot of times these incentives are only good for people with the best credit. And I tell everybody 750 and above. Just to be on the safe side, if I'm a little off and it's 770 or 780, okay, sweet. We know, if it's 720, then we're over it, but, definitely 720 and above, 750 and above. It's not like you got to have an 800 or 900 credit score to do it, but they're looking for the best of the best people to give a car loan and not make any money on. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Next question.
Can you make payments during this delayed payment schedule? So, you know how GM's doing, what is it, 4 months or 6 months, something like that. What about making payments during that time?
Yeah, so if you have, like, your first payment is due, what's this, March 30th? Say your first payment's not due till July 30th, and you buy a car today, and next thing you know, you get the mail of your payment coupon or your payment coupon book or whatever, you can start making your payments right away. And that's something that I would personally talk with your business manager on and tell them that, hey, listen, I don't want 120 days to first payment. I'm just in the market for a car. It's a good deal. I'm ready to buy. I'm ready to buy regardless of the situation. If you guys had 2% or 3% interest rate, I'd still buy anyways. But you can sit there and be like, hey, listen, I want my first payment to be due in 30 days or 60 days. 30 days is going to be the bare minimum because it transitioning from the dealership to the bank and the bank doing all their processing and everything. But 30 to 45 days is the typical. But if you can make payments early all you want.
So with this delayed payment schedule that they're offering, doesn't that make it really more like you're paying, you're not actually paying 7.5 years, but you are going out 7.5 years on a loan because you're delaying it 4 months, 6 months, whatever. So then say we're looking at, you know, July, then you got 7 years from July before you're paid off. And that just seems like crazy because you're really going out actually longer without having to make the payments.
Yeah.
Or longer.
Yeah. No, you hit the head. You hit the nail on the head because, and that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. I think you just said it better than what I did is, you know, you are just basically sitting there driving your car for 6 months, for 4 months, for 3 months, whatever the term is. And you're depreciating your car, but you're not paying your principal off. You know, you're not paying the principal balance off. So yes, you're putting yourself into a negative equity hole by delaying on payments. And again, for certain people, having that delay may be helpful, right? But as soon as you can get caught back up and say, hey, listen, I'm going to throw $5,000 to this to get this down because I knew I had four payments and my payments are $600 a month, right? That's $6, $12, $18. That's $2,400 right there if you have a $600 a month car payment. The average car payment, the average payment in America right now is over $500 per month on 72 months. So when you get into these $50,000 trucks with an interest rate, you're typically going to be $1,000 or lower. If you're looking at a Tahoe, Suburban, you might as well always bank on $1,200 a month. Doesn't matter what you do on a new one, it's $1,200 a month every single time. I chuckle a little bit, not at someone, but kind of like someone calls me and is like, yeah, I want a brand new Suburban or new Tahoe. And if you can give me around $800 a month, I'll buy it. It's like, if I can get you around $800 a month, I wouldn't have any in stock because that's $400 or $500 cheaper than what you could get it for with again, most people don't put money down. You put 10, 15 grand down. Now we're talking about a different story, but most people don't put money down. I always recommend putting 20% down. 20% is a good number on everything you do. Hey, if you don't have 20% and you only want to do 10%, hey, that's better than zero because you got to look at it that when you buy a car, you're going to have typically somewhere around 6-7% interest rate. Tennessee, California, you're talking about 10% interest rate. So if you put zero down, you're already 10% over. And just because you got all these big rebates doesn't mean that you're getting your cars cheaper, right? If you sell that car in 3 months, I got to be able to trade for that car and resell it to take business away from a new car deal. So that's why you lose so much money. I'm sitting here quoting for the podcasters listening that, you know, I'm air quoting, you're losing money, but you're not. You're not putting enough money down to be level or greater than the depreciation of a car. Matthew, thank you so much for the $5 super chat. I'm 18 with 6 month history, only have a 717 FICO score with $4,000 down payment. Looking to see if you think I could get an accepted for a $15,000 auto loan, $24,000 a year. So, 6 month history. I'm 18. So I would assume he's 18 and a half. It'll be tough, but having that 4,000 down will be a key thing. So if you're wanting a $15,000 auto loan, that's going to be a $300 a month payment. Let's see here. I'm just thinking. So if you're looking at a $19,000 car, putting $4,000 down to get to $15,000, that's the way I'm thinking on this. So you're going to have a $300 car payment and a calculator. So they're going to look at payment to income. So 24 divided by 30, that's a 7% payment to income. So we're fine on that. Then, yeah, I mean, you might want to get a cosigner to get a better rate. You know, if you can get a cosigner, even if they're not that great, right? Even if they're like a high 600 credit score, if they have longevity in the credit history, the FICO scores and stuff like that, that's going to help you on the interest rate. But that $4,000 down, depending on the car, depending on the loan to value, depending on the bank, they may accept it right now, right? Come tomorrow when all this stuff gets going, the banks are suffering with this as well, right? It's just not car dealers. It's not just mom and pop small businesses. It's not, you know, people who are non-essential. You know, I like watching TikTok. By the way, I'm on TikTok. If you don't look it up, just look up Chevy Dude. But I'm doing stupid stuff on there. Totally against what I ever do. But TikTok is just stupid stuff. So I'm doing it and I'm having fun with it. But who's non-essential is staying home, right? So a lot of these bank reps can do things. I was talking to a really good friend bank rep yesterday, and she works for Capital One, and she's not doing anything. She's sitting at home with two kids, and she's like, you're lucky you don't have little kids, you know? I said, I'm not lucky. My wife's My wife is the lucky one.
I'm really lucky. Yeah. I'm happy that we're not having to do the homeschooling thing and having little kids running around going crazy because they're bored.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's bad enough having a 19-year-old bored that, you know.
Should be in school and she wants to go to school and, you know, college and, you know, she's becoming a teacher and stuff. So, yeah. But I mean, I don't know what's this math that they teach now. I could never do that math. I can barely do math on my calculator alone.
Common Core.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I saw a meme the other day and I thought it was hilarious that basically it was saying that kids are in shock because now their teachers can beat their ass and nobody can do anything about it. You know, it was like, you know, teachers, they brought corporal punishment back into the school system since they're all home and
being taught by parents. Well, that's because teachers are all sleeping with the principal.
Yeah, yeah, that too. And I saw one is like, congratulations, you graduated high school, you know, in 3 weeks in 2 weeks. So they were just tired of the kids and whatnot. So if you got another question over there, we can answer that before I get into the last subject.
I would love to ask some questions if you'd be quiet right. for a minute.
Ask away. As soon as I get done talking, just interrupt me.
Okay, we have this question. I was wondering, since 0% doesn't really seem worth it, is it a better deal to buy in cash up front or to pull a loan and pay the loan off later?
So say that one more time. I want to make sure I understand it completely.
Pay cash.
Yep.
Or get a loan and pay it off later.
So yeah, so you got it all depends. You know, if you're giving up $6,000, I don't think I would do the 0%. Now, if you can get a 2% loan or better, you know, something in the twos is what I meant to say. I would say take your money, invest it somewhere, especially with the way the stock market's going. You can invest it somewhere and get a 3 to 6 or 7% compound interest on that and make money on it. That's what I would do. I wouldn't, again, I'm not a financial advisor, but my financial guy does say, hey, listen, finance and keep your liquid capital.
Okay. What about early payoff penalties? Are there any early payoff penalties right now?
That's pretty much gone now. There was a couple banks 6 and 7 years ago that did have a prepayment penalty that was like 2% or something like that, or $15 or something like that. But that's pretty much dead in the water now.
Okay, and this is a question from me, just with a scenario. What if you have a 3-year-old Equinox that you're looking to get rid of and you're underwater, or negative equity for those who don't understand underwater? Would 0% actually be helpful in that situation?
Everything's a case by case basis, but off the top of my head, probably not, because the reason why is you're going further in debt. This is the car salesman telling you this, okay? So this is legit that I'm like talking myself out of a car deal, and this is what I think has made me successful in the car business for 20 years is I'll say this exact same thing to a customer wanting to spend money. So now I gotta, you know, it's a seesaw back and forth. If I tell someone no and they insist on buying something, trust me, I'm selling them a car, right? My job is to sell cars. If I don't sell someone a car, they're just going to go to the next dealership and they're going to sell them a car and I'm out of commission. So I'm kind of in a rock and a hard place, but I do educate people what I think is the right way. It's my opinion on stuff. But you know, if you got negative equity on a car and you go buy another new car, you're just furthering your negative equity. So no, I don't think so. And maybe you save a little bit in payment, but you've got to realize that if you just, let's say you're like, hey, listen, I got $100 cheaper payment, right? Let's go to the extreme. What can someone do with $1,200 extra a year on everything? Can they put it towards another debt? Can they pay the same payment now and get out of that negative equity? That's the type of things you got to look at. And that's why I say up front that it's a case by case basis. But in the short term, no. But again, there's always a reason why that could work.
Okay. So here's another scenario. I'm currently laid off because my job had to close down for this health crisis. And my payment is, say, $500 a month. Well, that's a stretch for me to pay right now because I don't have anything other than unemployment coming in. But I see, say, a Malibu that has 0% and I can take it out for 6-7 years and get a lower payment. Would it be good to take the 0% then?
So again, case by case basis, right? If you can play the money game, play it, right? I mean, I get it. And that's a really good question.
You know, with the whole thing of like right now, people being laid off and only getting unemployment, they're not getting anywhere near their normal income. And, you know, just sitting there trying to give scenarios. But, you know, a lot of people would be like, well, making a $500 car payment every month might be a stretch and I need to spend that money somewhere else. So, you know, instead of maybe not paying that payment and putting yourself in further issues, you know, if you sat there and found a 0% on something cheaper and you had the 4-month delay of payment, that, you know, maybe.
Yeah. So, and I would say to call your current lender because they may do something for you as well. I haven't gotten confirmation of this, but I've seen comments on social media that, oh, I called my bank and they're let me skip a payment, right? The banks, as long as you're a good citizen, you got good credit, you've never been late on payments prior to or stuff like that. If you call your bank right now, this is something I've said this before. What we're going through right now, no human being anybody who lives on this planet has never experienced this before. This is something totally new to 100% of the people in the world. This is crazy, right? So I thought 2008, 2009 was rough. Now I can't even go to the dealership and sell a car if I wanted to, right? We're making waves. We're trying to get around stuff, but we basically have the government saying you're not an essential employee, so go home and do nothing. But I've seen comments on stuff like that the credit unions and banks out there are trying to help people and they'll let you skip a payment. They have a little bit of benefit to that because if you have an interest rate and you skip a payment, that's 30 more days of daily interest that you get. That may be only like $2 or $3 a day, right? But that's $90 into the bank's pocket of daily interest because you're paying a simple interest car loan. And then they do that for 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 10,000 people, 50,000 people. That's advantageous and money for them. And they probably would let you do that if you communicate with them. But I have seen that. Again, this whole situation, nobody has ever experienced before. So they're doing things different than they ever have before, things that they've never done before. I don't think you could ever call your bank 6 months ago, 3 months ago, 2 months ago. Hey, I'm a little short on funds this week. I got laid off. I got fired, blah, 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 blah. Could I skip a couple payments? Nope. Mr. Johnson, your payment's due on the 2nd. If it's not here on the 3rd, we're coming to get your car, right? That was 3 weeks ago that would happen.
Yeah. Well, and right now, you know, main thing is trying not to kill our economy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, homes, cars, people need them at times. They don't need them all the time. But, you know, that's like the main backbone of a lot of, you know, the economy and stuff is keeping that stuff moving.
Yeah. And I said this earlier, and I don't remember if I said this on the podcast portion of it, maybe the 10 minutes or so before I start recording for the podcast, talking to the people that are on the stream. But when we came out of the economy, you know, we're in shock. My income was cut in more than half. It was cut about 60% of what I was used to. So, you know, I started looking for things and doing things, and then I ran into Grant Cardone, and I thank Grant Cardone every day for this because he's basically taught you how to have multiple income sources, multiple revenue streams. And here I have YouTube and I have other things and whatnot. And now we've got this crisis coming that my dealership's closed down and I'm not stressful over it. And I just bought $100,000 car, you know, a month ago. I haven't even paid my first payment on it, but I'm not stressed out about it because I got all these revenue streams to back me up in the event that the car business goes down. I love selling cars. I don't want to quit the car business, right? I love doing that. So, and if it ever comes a day that I can't sell cars, it's probably going to be pretty rough because I've been doing it for 20 years now. And, you know, but as an individual, as a consumer out there, do what you can to find extra revenue streams. You know, I think you need to stay away from these trending, you know, like people that have the pearls, that they're selling pearls. That stuff's kind of junk. That's a pyramid scheme, I think. I don't know much about it, and I apologize if anybody's on here and gets triggered or upset about it. That's just my personal opinion. But, you know, go out there and find some revenue streams that you can do things. Start a YouTube channel. That's what I tell everybody now. Like I had one of my friends, Matt, who's a car salesman, or works in a car business. He's not a car salesman. He's not good enough. If he's listening. So, he's down in Carolinas, and he says, he was texting me yesterday. He says, my 7-year-old kid wants to start a YouTube channel. I said, let him do it. And he says, but he just wants to play games. I said, there's a lot of gamers out there who make millions of dollars a month, millions of dollars per month, playing video games. I said, let him do it. Let him figure it out. I said, monitor it. Make sure people are, you know, not being rude to him and making rude comments and using curse words and stuff like that towards, you know, a 7-year-old kid. Do your parental duties, but give him, you know, do it for him. You know, you look at Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast was making videos with his crappy webcam in his bedroom of his house. And now he's one of the top people in the world for social media and for internet. So go out there and just find something. You know, if you have passion for it, figure it out and do it and protect yourself. That's what I've learned in the last 10 years coming out of this economy.
I've learned to piggyback off of you.
I've also became a sugar daddy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I just let you worry about the money thing. I just enjoy the benefits. Although I am not our spender. I do not spend much money.
I know. I don't know how I got lucky on that.
I didn't get lucky there because you're my spender.
I'm definitely a spender. I'm definitely the woman in the relationship when it comes to spending. I think I have more shoes than you.
You're high maintenance. Very high maintenance.
I wouldn't say that I'm high maintenance, but you know, I think, hey, I want this and I go get it. Right. I mean, every day is Christmas for me. So
exactly.
We can't
even buy you Christmas presents because
I have to give you a list and I make a spreadsheet and I put links. This is where you can get this because it's hard for me to even think because I'm a spontaneous person when it comes to buying stuff.
Okay. Let's get back to questions. So with the whole COVID-19 and everything, is it a good time to buy a car?
Yeah, I think it is a good time to buy a car. And a lot of dealerships are doing different things. And that's actually part of the last topic that I was going to talk about is how safety is being taken very, very serious during the car buying process now. So, you know, my dealership a week ago, we were basically like, hey, listen, we'll do curbside service. We'll do this. We'll do that. I mean, again, I said it that, you know, this is something that's never happened before. So we're adapting to this as well. So, you know, we got a memo that said just to reconfirm our current process for deliveries, this is to be no face-to-face contact. The salesperson included, there are no test drives. Basically, the customer needs to commit without the customary demo. No menus for presentation other than by the phone, email, or fax. We are to conduct our business with the customer electronically by phone, computer, email. Most customers have iPhones and we can text a picture of the menu. Then we can go over product benefits via phone and close the customer accordingly. And that's just kind of talking about the F&I process because the F&I process is very customer face-to-face and signing multiple things. So then they go on to say, print the documents, place them, preferably the salesperson, in the car with a cleansed pen. I love how the manager who wrote this wrote cleansed in it. He's kind of a germaphobe, so it's pretty funny. Leave and let the customer enter the car and sign where indicated. Then they notify us, the salesperson by phone, that docs are signed, ready to be picked up. Then either you or the salesperson can go out to the empty car and retrieve the paperwork. So either may wear gloves if you choose, recommend a disinfectant wipe over the pen and folder, but at the very least, use hand sanitizers before and after handling all documents. Then wipe down your desk after turning the deal in the deal. And a week ago, we weren't having that conversation. You know, this is something that came out yesterday. I think I was in the dealership for a few minutes and that's something new, you know, that's something we've never done before. So So dealerships are taking great links, and every business is, right? So we were in PetSmart yesterday getting dog food, and I'll tell people, I'm not scared to get this, and we're not going to get into this detail, but you know, there's been information coming out that maybe this stuff was around November, December, January time, and we actually think that we might have had it. So we don't know, right? There was no testing. We didn't get tested. It's just speculation, and it's speculatory on that. But I'm not personally worried to get it because we're of good health. But I am worried about who I could pass it on to. So I take good proper precautions to do it. So we went to PetSmart yesterday, and we were picking up some pet food. We bought it up front and just had to go in and pick it up. And you know, they were taking somebody else's out first, and they have call ahead service, which everybody has call ahead service now. But they're like, hey, the customer said, take it out, lay it on the ground, and they'll get out of the car and pick it up and put it in their car. That's a no contact sale. That's something that's never happened before. And that's where our dealership has gone to, and that's where many dealerships are gone to. And I feel sorry for, and somebody said this earlier in the show, I feel sorry for the people who are working in sales that are 100% commission, that you know, they're basically out of a job right now because the people aren't buying cars. It's difficult. They haven't done it. Now, I've been selling cars over the internet for what, 2013, 2012, 2013 for sure, when the C7 came out. So, you know, so I've got 7-year jump on everybody out there. So with me selling cars, it's not an issue. It's very simple. And you know, and my dealership's relaying on me a lot to like, what do? How do you do this? How do you do that? And you know, we can FedEx paperwork, you know, for somebody out of town. Andrew with Complete Street Performance is coming tomorrow to pick up their second Corvette. And, you know, he's coming down here, but I overnighted him all the paperwork, you know, to sign up there in PA. And they can't come into the dealership. Buying another, a second Corvette from me. They're not allowed in the dealership. They can't do anything. I'm not supposed to go over the car again. I'm not going to sue my company, you know, if I get coronavirus or whatever. So I'm just going to, you know, I'll go over with him.
He
or
should
screw
know
him.
What the,
he does.
The
he's got,
works.
He's got one already, but you know, but we're recording for YouTube content and stuff like that. So we're going to have some interaction, but you know, dealerships are doing this. My dealership put up probably 50 different hand sanitizer stations throughout, which is good. We had good practice anyways, as a dealership. Again, we've got a couple of managers that are germaphobes. And so they're real cleansy anyways. And they talk about it everybody here and there. So my dealership isn't doing much difference in practices with cleanliness because we're always pretty clean anyways. But you know, like I've never gone out of the bathroom without putting a towel, you know, around the handle. I never touch a door handle. And if I have to, say the paper towels are out, I don't use an air dryer. I don't use a hand dryer. I'll use my pinky and grab the handle and go out there and use hand sanitizer again. So it is safe to buy a car nowadays, but you may come in to find that you need to just, and we talked about this last week. You know, you just, or I did a video last week. You just got to have no contact with people and do everything over the phone. And nowadays the dealerships probably aren't going to let you test drive, but maybe ask them like, hey, on a used car specifically, is there a return policy? Ask those questions up front. That's really, really important to know those questions. Again, I'll put it in the description of this video and in the podcast video, the link to the video that I'm talking about, because it didn't do real well. I think YouTube killed it in their algorithm because it had to do with coronavirus. And at that point, they were like really being leery of who could talk about coronavirus and who couldn't. And I made sure I didn't really use the word much, but like a friend of mine's video, they put up the same day and they got demonetized and mine didn't because I was being cautious on it. But that's the thing, type of things just do. I think it's okay to buy a car. I think it's safe to buy a car, but just do the proper things for safety precautions.
Okay. Somebody made a comment in the live stream and, you know, again, with the 0% loans right now, yes, you're giving up some rebates, et cetera, and you have to decide which is best for you. But, you know, somebody said, remind everybody that with 0%, every penny's going to principal.
Yeah, I saw that comment too, and I had kind of said that earlier in it. But it is nice. But again, if you're giving up $6,000 in rebates, like I demonstrated earlier in the show, in the broadcast as well, on that Silverado, it may not be worth it to you. You know, I don't have my notes anymore from that, from when I did that. But, you know, if you're only coming out a couple thousand dollars ahead, I'll list them on the pool table. When you're only coming out like maybe $1,500 ahead over the entire length of the loan, it may not be advantageous for you. That's why you need to look at it side by side, like I said earlier, to determine, okay, I see what it is if I take 0% in the bottom line that I pay. I see what it is by taking a traditional interest rate and figuring that and seeing what's going to be worth it and then going backwards. And what do I typically do? Do I trade every 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? Do I keep my cars forever and I pay them off, whatever the case may be?
Yeah. And, you know, somebody asked about, let me find, whether or not it was best to pay more on a car loan than just what your payment is, which typically when you have an interest loan, yes, paying more than your payment every month will help reduce the interest that you pay over time. But with the 0%, it will just help paying off that loan faster so that your negative equity, possibly when you go to trade in, or have no negative equity when you go to trade in down the road.
Yeah, so it's always good to pay more than what it is. And so like what I like to look at when I do car loans for myself is like, hey, well, I'll obligate myself to the lowest payment possible without being screwy. But I'll look at what's it take per month to pay this off in 3 years or 4 years. And that's what I'll typically pay. And nowadays you don't have to tell the bank that, hey, I'm going to pay an extra $50 and I want it to go to principal, not interest, right? You don't have to tell the banks that anymore. That's kind of old school. And it's kind of a rule of 7/8 loan back in the day. Never done one of those loans, but it's pretty simple. Next question.
Kind of off topic, but not fully. Somebody wanted to know, how can I figure out how much I can finance?
So a good rule of thumb is to look at your income versus your payment. And it's kind of complicated. So if you go, I'm Googling right now just to check to make sure. If you Google good PTI car loan, you're going to find a bunch of articles, and PTI stands for payment to income. So a good payment to income ratio is 15% to 20%. So of your total monthly income. And so you want to look at that. But then you got to look at your debt to income ratio. If you've got 75% of your income going out, a 15% to 20%, no bank's going to let you do that. You know, when I realized, you know, I decided to finance the Corvette, I had both my daughter's car loans in my name. I still had a payment on the Camaro, stuff like that. I'm like, I need to start getting these loans out of my name. You know, it's like, I better just think about that a little bit more, because I'm fine on payment to income and I'm fine on debt to income. But banks look at things screwy sometimes, like, well, he's already got four car loans. Why does he need a fifth one, right? So even though I'm playing the money game of I'm keeping liquid capital and I can afford the payments and I make them all on time and my credit score is great, but banks just look at things screwy. So the answer to that question is 15 to 20% payment to income. So just take your income, times it by 15%. That's what your payment should be. The lower, the better. And again, it all depends. If you got, you know, a bunch of debt, 15 to 20% is not going to be good.
And do you anticipate April having better deals if pretty much things are getting worse? They're not getting better yet. You know, we're still looking at Indiana's on a stay-at-home order until April 7th, and I expect it to be extended. A lot of companies are coming out and saying they're not expecting until the end of April to be back in business, et cetera. So do you think GM, Ford, anybody is going to come out with even better deals trying to get some sales?
So no, I don't think that they're going to get any better. I think they're pretty good already. And I say this all the time, traditionally speaking, regardless of where your month lies during the year, all the deals are relatively the same. So there's no difference in this 0% than there was 3 weeks ago. There wasn't a whole lot of change. So yes, it's a big hype and it's big news and Chevy's like, hey, we're taking care of America, blah, blah, blah. But it's just marketing, right? And I get that and that's fine. And I'm not saying anything negative about it, but it's marketing and marketing is marketing. There's no gray area here. You're being marketed to make a purchase. They're trying to make everything shine and build enough value and have your emotional thought process have more value than the cost and then go buy. So I don't think it's gonna be any different, but here's what I did read. So I don't read news. I don't really watch a lot of stuff, but now that I've had a week off work and I'm still doing a lot of work, I'm still like recording content. I think I got way too much content recorded, guys. You guys are going to be, it's going to be crazy how much content I have recorded right now. We're going out and recording tomorrow morning. So, first thing in the morning with Corvette, which is going to be, fun and good. So, we're looking at China's stuff coming back already. You know, I was reading an article today, and I take a lot of these articles as a grain of salt, but if there's just any hopes and glamour to that China saw this weeks before we did, months before we did, and they shut everything down, and now they're back up running good, and they see their economy spiking, that's just going to be good for us. So, and I think we're much, much better than China is as far as economy-wise and whatnot, but that's the kind of the hope to look at and the things to see is that it's going to get good. I don't think we're going to be down in this very long. It's not going to be like a year, 2 years. I don't even think it's going to be 6 months. I know a lot of people are out there saying that, but I think this is going to be a 2 month deal. We're come back and we're going to forget about it. And we're all going to be too busy with the summer and the sports are going to be back. And we're just gonna be doing things. Hopefully we can make our trip to Europe.
Yeah.
We're supposed to make a trip to Europe in June because the Cubs, I'm a huge Cubs fan. So we're supposed to be going to the Cubs game in London in June. So I don't know if we're going to do that or not.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it either.
But that's mainly because besides what's going on here, you have what's going on in the rest of the world. And we were looking at going to England or UK, whatever they call it now, and France. And both of those places are, having their own issues with the current health crisis. So I don't know by June that it's going to be beneficial to be traveling across the sea or much else other than domestic. But we'll see what happens. Now, with that, do you think dealerships are going to be having a strong game, say, in May when everybody can return to work on discounting cars heavy, heavy, heavy?
Yeah, I think so. I think dealers are going to step up their game big time because they're pretty much shut down. The Trucker Ed Show, thanks for the 5 super chat. He says, April Fool's is tomorrow. Prank someone while in quarantine. Pranking people is easy right now. I mean, again, I kind of mentioned TikTok earlier, but I don't know why the hell I got on TikTok, but I don't know. It's just, it's obsessive, right? You just sit there and next thing you know, it's 45 minutes later and you've been TikTok-ed by watching it.
That's why I stay.
Oh my gosh.
I get
it's
on
so
it
funny to
maybe
watch.
Once a week because I will sit there for an hour watching stupid things.
An hour?
Yeah, because I'm not like you. I can't watch YouTube.
I don't watch YouTube much.
I can't watch. You like to watch the gamers.
Yeah, I watch the gamers because I learn from them because streaming and stuff like that.
I can't do that. So, TikTok, I can get on for an hour, but that's an hour I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. So let's do one more question for the podcast and then we'll hop off. And again, we live stream every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. The podcast audio portion goes to your favorite podcast. It's beyondtheshowroompodcast.com is the website to go to find it, beyondtheshowroompodcast.com. And that goes live at 6 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. Last question for the podcasters.
Yeah.
Make it a good one.
You caught me off guard because I don't have any that has to do with the current topic for this.
No.
So
look at that. Tom said the Cubs game in London was canceled yesterday.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either.
But I already assumed that
I
was going
too.
To happen.
So sad.
But here's the nice thing. We should get a refund on our
tickets. Yeah, we'll get a refund. But, I mean, I was looking forward to that. I was looking for that since June of last year, you know, because that's when it was released. We went on our first vacation since 2010 last year, 2011 last year. And
what are you talking? Well, I guess we did take the kids in
to Disney World. Disney
I think Land that was 2012.
2012. Anyways, it was a long time of vacation. I'm not a big vacation guy, but we went on our first vacation to Hawaii for our wedding anniversary. We were there for 2 weeks there in LA. And when we were out there, they're like, Cubs in London. I'm like, oh, we're going. And as soon as tickets came available, I spent like 5 hours trying to get tickets. I was so frustrated that day and that I couldn't get tickets. And finally I get tickets, 5 hours invested. And now it's gone. Now it's done.
Well, sad. I was excited to be going to France. Yeah. Because that was where last year's vacation was supposed to be.
Right, correct.
And we just kind of came down to,
It was getting complicated.
I was stressing out because there was not enough time for planning.
Yeah.
And everything. So
I'll pick up a phone tomorrow, hop on a plane and go to, you know, overseas trip.
Yeah. No, I'm a planner.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and do a recap because I'm not seeing any good questions coming
in. Okay, sounds good. So in a nutshell, what we learned today in today's episode is definitely look at the 0% side by side with taking a traditional finance rate. Look at those side by side to make sure that you're doing the best thing. And just look at them. Make a good financial decision. Don't buy a vehicle because they're offering 0% and you're paying 3% interest rate, you're paying 5% interest rate, right? You can get ahead of life by paying that car loan off. You know, look at the real world scenario that I showed earlier in the video. I showed it right up front. So people that want to rewatch this, they can do that. Talked about why dealers are going to sway you from 0% because it's strictly money. It's just strictly aspect from them. But if they show you good enough reason why, hey, listen, you don't want 0% because of this, especially if you're a good customer of that dealership, right? I'm going to protect my customers because they're going to come back. If I know their buying habits are every 3 years, I don't want to have a conversation in 3 years with a customer and say, yeah, you got 10 grand negative equity. What? Did you screw me over last time? Because now they get that in their head that I screwed them over. It's my fault, right? It's not their fault. It's my fault. And they start looking at other dealerships and I lose the relationship. So the typically these deals are, it's every manufacturer is different, but I'm going off of what Chevrolet is doing currently on 2019s. And this is the last day of the month that I'm recording this, March 31st. April 1st, maybe something different. So it's currently on 2019 models and then only on this truck, several truck models for the 2020. And, you know, typically now speaking, pretty much do everything over the phone or through email or internet, text messaging on buying a car. Don't expect to go into a dealership. Get everything done.
And that does remind me. I saw, and I couldn't find this comment again. Somebody said they would, they were looking for an SUV, but wasn't sure what they wanted, and they would feel bad driving 6 or 7 vehicles that need to be sanitized each and every time, which brings up the fact that dealerships are not doing test drives right now.
Yeah, so I would not expect to be able to do that. And if that's something you need to do, put your car buying on hold. If you need to test drive 5 or 6 vehicles, but you can also go out and rent one as well. You know, if Enterprise or Avis or whatever is renting cars, you could do that as well as go rent one, pay $20, $30 for a day and drive it and have a really extended test drive. You got 5 or 6 vehicles to do and you put $100 or $200 into this car deal of your own money and investing in that. That's, I think you're okay with that. So, that's good to end right there. If you do need a test drive, go look at the rental car companies. They're all going to be base units, but it is a good way to rent something for $20 or $30. And I think if you tell the rental car companies like, listen, I just want to test drive this, because I'm looking to buy one, you know, this is what I need. They'll accommodate your needs. I think they're feeling the effects of coronavirus as well. So for the podcasters, we want to thank you once again for listening and downloading the stream. BeyondTheShowroomPodcast.com is where you can get the stream and get the RSS feed for your favorite device and on your favorite podcasting platform. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., live on the YouTube channel Chevy Dude. Look up Beyond the Showroom Facebook page where we talk about this stuff all day, every day. We had a lady in there today asking a question about how she bought a car 3 months ago, and the dealer's trying to rework the deal now and screw her over. So we're all having a good conversation in there as well and giving her good advice on how to protect herself on a 90-day-old car deal that the dealer's trying to do a yo-yo loan on her. So stuff like that we can talk about in there. And, of course, you can follow me on Instagram, which is ChevyDude_. And as always, guys, thanks again for listening. Have a great day. Drive safely. And we'll see you next week.
Beyond the Showroom is on the socials. Follow along on Twitter at ChevyDude. Join the Beyond the Showroom Facebook group by searching Beyond the Showroom. Subscribe to the ChevyDude YouTube channel. And until next time, have a great day and drive safely.